I will be reading from 1 Samuel, chapter 1. 1 Samuel, chapter 17, verses 34 through 37. But God said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep sheep for his father, and when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. And if he arose against me, I caught him by the beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has struck down both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, for he has defiled the armies of the living God." And David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you."
Good morning. It is good to be with you this morning. I encourage you to keep your Bibles open to 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17, that will be a text for us this morning. We have several guests with us, and we're glad you're here. You've encouraged us with your presence. Hope that you find the things that we've done to be in accordance with God's Word. And we certainly hope that if that's not the case, you would come and talk to us about those things. We'd like to say welcome to the Evans family, as the Brother Ford has already said this morning. So glad to have them to be a part. And certainly, if there's any guest here with us this morning, maybe you've been visiting with us a while, checking us out, and you've decided you want to be a part of this good family here at East Shelby, I encourage you to talk to one of the shepherds about meeting with them and being a part of this work. It's always good to see some come back home, and Kevin and Virginia Long are here with us this morning. And always good to see them. And of course, we know Virginia is and Kevin are expecting a baby soon, and certainly good to see both of them. I would say that Kevin's feeling a little left out with all the attention Virginia gets. So make sure you talk to him too. He's feeling a little lonely here and says that he doesn't matter anymore. So if you could show Kevin a little bit of attention. By the way, that will only get worse when the baby comes, if you've not figured that out. Also, one follow-up to my lesson this morning, actually, I guess two things. Gary Taylor came and talked to me. He first asked that I didn't share, it's too late now, the great savings between burial and cremation. But secondly, he prefers to be called the singing undertaker instead of a mortician. So I wanted to make those corrections before we get into our time together. Do appreciate his work with the songs this morning. From an early age, the stories we share in our Bible classes capture our attention. Maybe it's the story of a man thrown down into a cave full of lions and they don't eat him. Maybe it's the story of three guys who walk into a fiery furnace and survive, or eight people who live in a wooden box floating on the water of floods with all the animals that the earth has, or at least a portion of them. But one of those stories that captures our attention perhaps more than any other is the story of a boy or a young man and a giant, David and Goliath. How that every day a huge giant came and intimidated the armies of Israel. Every day he said, "Bring forth one man to fight me, and we'll determine this battle between the two of us." And nobody from Israel would ever volunteer to go. And then one day a shepherd comes to deliver lunch to his older brothers in the army. And he sees this, and he is offended that no one has stood up to this giant. And he volunteers to go, and everyone tells him he's crazy. And it was just read for us. He has all this confidence. He exudes with confidence. "God has been with me. He's helped me to kill lions and bears, and he'll help me to kill this uncircumcised Philistine. I'll go fight him." And so Saul puts his armor on him, and David says, "No, I don't need that." And he just chooses five smooth stones from a brook nearby and uses his sling. And with one stone, he slays Goliath. I think this story captures our attention because it's the classic story of the underdog. In fact, You turn on sports and you hear references to David and Goliath all the time. It captures our attention too, because inside of us, there's a part of us that wants to know that we can overcome anything despite the overwhelming odds, that we too can be David in the face of a Goliath. And I think that we can. And you know what happens as you begin to grow older is that these become more than Bible stories, don't they? They become lessons. After all, Paul said in Romans 15, these things were written for our learning. And so we go back to these stories that captivated our attention, and we find the lessons that God wants us to learn. And I want us to do this morning the same with this story, because I want us just to learn how to be a David. How is it that you and I can go out into life, because every day we're going to face possible giants, how can we go out into life and how can you and I kill the giants in our life? How can we be a giant killer like David? Just want to share a few things with you and then we'll be done. Some traits, some characteristics of these giant killers like David. First, you have to trust God. David trusted God. It's interesting, when he volunteers to take on Goliath, Saul tells David, essentially, you're out of your mind. If you look in verse 33, he says there in verse 33 to David, you are not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for you're but a youth, and he has been a man of war from his youth. It's as if Saul is saying to David, you're crazy. This guy's been fighting as long as you've been alive. And you think you're going to defeat him? And David's answer was just read for us by Brent, where he says, look, I've killed lions and bears. I've grabbed a lion by the beard and struck him down because of God. And if I can do that with a lion and a bear, God will deliver me from this Philistine. And Saul says, go and the Lord be with you. And David went. I think it's interesting to point out that David had learned to trust God from his youth. Goliath had been a warrior from his youth. David had trusted God from his youth. That's what he wrote in the 71st Psalm in verse 5. For you, O Lord, my hope, my trust, O Lord, from my youth. And later in verse 17, O God, from my youth you have taught me, and I still proclaim your wondrous deeds. Life had taught David from a young age that God would be with him. He trusted God. And you and I have to learn to trust God. Proverbs chapter 3 in verses 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not upon your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge Him and He will make straight your paths. Don't lean on your own understanding. Trust God. Don't lean on your own strengths. Trust God. Don't lean on your own abilities. Trust God and God will take care of you. We sing a song like that. God will take care of you. I wonder sometimes if we believe that, because we are tempted to trust in self more than God. I got to tell you, when David went and chose those five stones, it wasn't because he was convinced he was the best stone slinger that Israel had ever seen. It was because he was convinced that even with five stones, God could help him kill the giant. That's what he picked the stones. He trusted God. And we need to trust God. Jesus said it this way, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and these things will be given to you as well. Put God first and trust Him. I tell you what, when you go through life, you want to be able to kill the giants in your life, you have to trust God first. If you don't trust God first, you can't do it. Secondly, give God the glory. Look at verse 26. David comes out and he points this out to the armies in Israel. When Goliath is challenging them, if you look at verse 26, David asked the men standing near him, what shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of a living God? I want you to notice that. Don't look over that. David doesn't see these as the armies of Israel. These are the armies of God. These are God's people. David understands they belong to God. He's giving God the glory from the very beginning. Saul didn't do that. Saul hid in fear in his tent. The rest of Israel didn't do that. The rest of Israel, their armies, they failed to realize they belonged to God. But David understood that they belonged to God. over in verse 37 that was already read for us as well. He talks about that the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. He gives God the glory for beating these animals already and for the victory to come. And even in the face of the giant, he continues to give God the victory. Look at, or give God the glory. Look at verse 45 starting. Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, of the armies of Israel whom you defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. And I will give the dead bodies of the host of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air, to the wild beasts of the earth, that the earth may know there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly may know that the Lord saves not with sword or spear, but the Lord, battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into our hand." David's whole purpose was to glorify God. And not just to the Philistines, but to teach Israel, who had forgotten who God is. He wanted the congregation of Israel to know who God was and that God would deliver them. He wanted, in verse 46, the whole world to know the God of Israel. When you have successes in life, who do you give credit to? Do you look in the mirror and brag and boast about what you've done? Do you call your friends and tell them about your great accomplishments? Are you so focused on yourself that you forget to give credit to God? I tell you how you'll know that. When somebody comes up and gives you a compliment, how do you handle that? Do you ever give God the glory for what you've done? Have you ever in that moment told them, "Well, I appreciate that, but you know, it's God that has blessed us." I tell you, sometimes we look at the athlete who gets on TV and in his interview, he kind of says, "Well, I just want to thank God first for all that He's done." And we kind of go, "You know, that guy doesn't care about God and God doesn't care about that game." And I guess to a point that's true, but there is a point we need to learn from them. And that is, we need to learn to give God the glory in our life. We need to learn to glorify God. To God be the glory. Great things He hath done. Another song we sing. Do we mean those words? I have to tell you, sometimes, even among God's people, we have a hard time understanding this. We sometimes forget that this work is about God. Well, look at all the classes that I've taught, or look how much better of a song leader I am, or look at all the people I've taught, or look at all the work I've done around here. Nobody here works harder than I do. I tell you, when we make statements like that, we're talking about ourselves more than God. It's about God. And we need to give Him the glory and the credit for all that He's done, just like David did. David did not slay the giant so that he could become king. He didn't kill Goliath so that one day Israel would bow down to him. That wasn't his purpose. He didn't do it to prove that he was better than Saul or any of the other noble men who had cowered in the shadows of their tents in the camps of Israel. He did what he did to glorify God. And he didn't go anywhere else afterwards bragging about killing Goliath. No, others did that. He just glorified God. We've got to give God the glory if we're going to kill the giants in our life and overcome the overwhelming odds. We also have to have a good attitude. I'd like for you just for a moment to contrast the attitude of David with the attitude of the rest of the armies of Israel. Every day Goliath would come out. And he would challenge them. And verse 11 says, "When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid." They were discouraged. They focused on the negatives of what Goliath had said. They focused on the doubts and the fears and all of the problems involved. Nobody here can beat a giant. We are, to go back to what they said when Joshua and Caleb went into the land, we are but grasshoppers in His eyes. They were consumed with the most negative of thoughts. And then you compare that to David's mindset, who saw the giant Goliath as nothing more than just another predator, like a lion or a bear. In verse 36, your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them. David had a different attitude. And David didn't listen to the negatives that everybody else tried to say. I got to tell you, if there's anybody that was ever tried to be talked out of something and was given all of the reasons why this just won't work, it was David when he went to Goliath. Look at verse 28, for instance. David's brother tells David that he has no business doing this. He says there, Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men. Eliab's anger was kindled against David. He said, "Why have you come down? And with whom have you left those sheep in the wilderness? I know your presumption and the evil of your heart, for you've come down to see the battle." He's trying to say, why even be here? You need to go home. Get away from here. You're being a troublemaker. And David wouldn't listen. Saul tries to discourage him in verse 33. When again he says, "You're not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him. You're a youth. He's been a man of war from his youth." David wouldn't listen. Goliath himself in verse 44. Goliath says, "Come to me," Goliath says, "Come to me and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. If you really fight me, I'm going to kill you." And David wouldn't listen. Every time David's told to run away, he's tempted to give up. He's showing all the reasons why this just won't work out. He doesn't. He doesn't listen to excuses. He doesn't back down. He just goes and kills a giant in the name of God. Because he knew God was on his side. Paul said in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, "I can do all things through Him who strengthens me." We need to have a positive mindset, a good attitude. We need to be reminded that when it comes to life, that one person with God is a majority. One person with God can overcome anything. And it's not just David, Daniel, Esther, Joseph, Ezekiel, Elijah. Over and over again, the Bible shows us how that just one person with God is a majority. Can I encourage you to have a good attitude, to think good thoughts, to be positive instead of negative? I have to tell you that I get frustrated with my brethren because sometimes we're the most miserable, negative people I've ever met in my life. Sometimes all we do is look at all the problems. I got to tell you, if that had been David, he would have never left the camp. He would have run home. He would have never volunteered. He would have never chosen five stones. He would have never set foot onto the battlefield because he would have been defeated before he started. And that's how we are sometimes. Why don't we go talk to our neighbors about the Lord and about the gospel? Well, they won't listen anyway. Why don't we go talk to a brother who's living in sin and needs to be gently rebuked and corrected and hopefully restored? Well, they don't want to hear what I have to say. Why don't we do the work God has planned for us to do? Well, I just won't be good enough at it. I won't know what to say. I won't know what to do. Nobody will listen. We come up with every reason and every justification for all of the things. And sometimes we allow that to go beyond ourselves. Sometimes instead of thinking about what we can't do, we are so negative about everybody else, we don't do anything either. I'm going to tell you that the one who can slay a giant and live with God in a relationship that is healthy and positive and spiritual and righteous, the Christian, the believer, the disciple, doesn't look down on anyone else or anything else, but sees the good in everything. Has a good attitude about others and about the work of the church and about life. And only when you have that kind of attitude can you overcome. Because as long as you allow your attitude to hold you down, you will always be defeated. David would have never fought Goliath with the mindset that most of us carry. Final point, you must be prepared. David took care of his own preparations. Now, Saul tried to assist in that. In verse 38, we see that Saul clothed David with his armor, put a helmet of bronze on his head, clothed him with a coat of mail. And David strapped his sword over his armor, and he tried in vain to go, for he had not tested them. Then David said to Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not tested them. So David put them off. Some would suggest this means that the armor didn't fit right. And that may be part of it, but the greater part of what this is saying is that David didn't know how to use armor. He wasn't used to it. He hadn't prepared. He had not trained with armor. He had not worked with armor before. You ever got into a car that's not yours and you're going to drive it for the first time and it's raining and you can't find where the windshield wiper button is? Has that ever happened? You know, the reason that happens is because you've not trained with that car. Now, it just takes a few moments to figure it out. But you've got to figure it out. And it's the same idea here. David didn't know how to use a sword and a shield and armor, but you know what he used? You know what he knew how to use? He knew how to use a sling. Because that's what he used every day. He knew how to use a sling and stones to warn off predators from the flock. And so in verse 40, we see him going down to the brook and taking 5 smooth stones and putting them in his pouch with his sling in his hand. I got to tell you, part of what just captures our attention of the story is this image that we kind of see of this bold, large, overgrown warrior in armor with a javelin spear that weighed more than David. And here is this little shepherd boy or young man dressed up in just a tunic and a pouch and a sling. No helmet, no shield, nothing to protect him. And yet he wins. He wins because of God, but he also wins because David did what he was prepared to do. And God used him as he was prepared. We have to make preparations in life. Philippians 2 and verse 12 tells us to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. It's our job to do work, in other words. God's not going to do all the work for us. We go in His name and we fight in His name and we give Him the glory, but it's our job to also be a part of the action. 2 Peter 3 and verse 18 tells us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's my job to grow. That's part of my preparation as a Christian. It's maturing, growing up, becoming a better person tomorrow than I am today. 1 Peter 3 and verse 15 tells me to be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks for a reason for the hope that is in me. I got to tell you this. Sometimes I think our problem when it comes to overcoming challenges in life, and especially spiritual ones, maybe teaching our neighbor or answering a question about why we do the things that we do. Sometimes the challenge is we doubt our abilities. So pay attention. Your spiritual arsenal may be small. But if you trust God and give Him the glory, He can still use 5 stones to defeat giants. In fact, He only used 1. See, the real problem sometimes when it comes to this is we doubt our ability. It's not about our ability as much as it is trusting God and then being prepared in God's Word and in God's way and will in order to be who we're supposed to be. God can use you where you're at today if you'll be prepared. Part of our problem is we have become so consumed with our inabilities and what we think we cannot do and all of those negative thoughts from the last point that you and I sometimes make the mistake of just quitting and giving up and stopping. What would have happened if David had tried on that armor and couldn't use it and then said, you know what, this just won't work out, I need to go home. I have to tell you, that's what most of us would have done. Because we don't trust where we're at, or we've not even prepared to be at that point. What are you doing to prepare yourself to fight the giants of life? And if the answer is, well, I come to church on Sunday morning, can I tell you, you're not doing enough? Doesn't matter how good the preaching is, and how good the singing is, and how good the thoughts before the Lord's Supper is, or how good the Bible class is, if all you're doing to prepare yourself to fight spiritually and to overcome the temptations and the battles you're going to face happens at 4700 Mayfield Road West, if that's the only place you're preparing, you will fail. Because we have to prepare in our homes. At our kitchen table or on our couch or on our beds at night as we read before we go to bed, as we pray, in our cars as we meditate on spiritual things, in our workplaces as we make application and we pray when we need prayer, when we approach life the way David did, where anywhere, we're at any time, and any place we're at, we look for the battle to be won for the Lord and we prepare for that. It takes more than just being here. Are you preparing to kill those giants in your life? See, the reality is you and I can be a David. We can. But we have to be prepared. Are you prepared to kill giants? There's one giant in your life that you can only kill and overcome through God, and that is the giant of sin. And I have to say this morning that the only way to overcome that battle is through God. You cannot do that on your own. The good news, though, is He's already prepared the way for us to overcome. He sent His Son to die so that you and I could overcome this battle. And we could have victory. But you have to be obedient to the gospel of Christ in order to receive that victory. And if you've not, we'd encourage you to be obedient this morning. Do you believe in Jesus and what He's done for you and us by sending His Son, by God sending His Son to die for us? Do you believe in Jesus? Would you repent, change your life, and become a child of His? Follow after Him. Be His disciple. Make that decision to live for Him instead of yourself. Would you confess your faith that Jesus is the Son of God? And would you be baptized, buried in water, raised up in the likeness of His resurrection, a new creature, washed free from sin? That's the preparations God's made. Now, if you'll obey those things, you'll be made His child this very morning. And you will leave here as one who's prepared to fight the battles spiritually that come your way this week. Are you prepared? If not, won't you obey the gospel this morning? Won't you put on Christ through obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ? Do it now while we stand and while we sing this song.